Welcome back to the Lyme Podcast. My name is Aaron Alexander. This is a place that we bring together the world's leading experts in all things health and wellness to help you optimize your mind, body, and movement. Today's conversation is about water. Water is one of those things that I think it can be deceptive. It seems like it's all the same, whether it comes out of a tap, whether it comes out of a fresh spring, whether it comes through a filtration system, and everything in between. There is a lot of nuance to the water that we're drinking and the way that it affects our bodies. This conversation is a deep dive into all of that, particularly getting into the value of spring water and what differentiates that from other iterations of water. The guest today is Chris Sanborn, also known as Mukunde Singh. He has been popularized on Comedy Central, on the New York Times, on pretty much all major news outlets across the board for his company, Alive Water. You can find alivewaters.com. And he brings fresh, raw spring water to people's doors. And it's been a contentious topic, the concept of bringing fresh spring water to people without any type of sanitization process. And this conversation goes deep into the significance of spring water and also how we can turn filtered water into something that is spring-like and all of the nitty-gritty in between that. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. If you do want to get yourself some spring water, there is a promo code. It is Align. So if you go to Alive, A-L-I-V-E, waters.com and then use promo code Align, you'll get 15% off. He also has the findaspring.org, which is a completely free resource that folks can go to find a spring near them, as well as not just drinking spring, but also hot springs as well. So jump over, check out findaspring.org or alivewaters.com, promo code Align for 15% off if you want to get some fresh spring water delivered to your door. That is it. That is all. Thank you guys for reviews on this. Thank you for subscribing so you get each week's episodes. Thanks for sharing the conversation if you find it meaningful. And feel free to check me out over at Aaron Alexander on the Instagram and Align Podcast on the YouTube. All right, let's get to it. What the hell is the difference between spring water and tap water to start?
Well, most tap water in the United States has lots of toxic stuff in it. I think most people know about chlorine in tap water. Actually, a lot of times it's chlorine plus ammonia, which results in chloramine. So definitely not the best things for our body. A lot of places have fluoride in the tap, which is a neurotoxin. Thankfully, a lot of places are starting to cut that out, but yeah, it's a pretty gnarly toxin that's pretty difficult to filter out of water. Another interesting thing about tap water is most of the tap supplies also run next to the sewage piping of a city. So there's cross-contamination, and that's why most places need so much heavy chlorination.
And why does that pose an issue for human biology?
So the human species has drank raw, unprocessed spring water for over 99% of our existence. It's what we're biologically adapted to drink to for our bodies to thrive. And when you start to alter that and put in these toxicities, it messes with our digestive system and our complex microbiome that is in our gut, where we know actually most of the serotonin, the happiness chemical, comes from.
Yeah. How did you become so interested in all this? Because like I've been personally interested in this stuff for a while, but not nearly to like to a fraction of the degree that you've been. We were just talking, I used to live in Bend, Oregon. I used to gather my own spring water out there. I lived in Hawaii for a while where you lived and gather spring water, but was into all sorts of kind of new age stuff out there as well. And this stuff has been like, I think pretty, it feels pretty like common sense with the exposure that I've had in my like new age reality for the last 20 years. but it's not common sense at all. Like, I was watching your interviews on Comedy Central and Daily Show and the interview with New York Times, and like, you've been like all over the place with this stuff. Like, it's absurd how big of a kind of parodied come up you had, because for the most part they're making fun of you, which I think was probably really positive for you in the long run. So I'd be curious your experience with that as well. How did you get in all this stuff? Why is it so important to you? And then what was the experience of mainstream media pretty much like shitting on your perspectives on this and like making kind of like a parody of your interest in all of this stuff?
Yeah. So maybe 10 years ago, I came privy to the fact that spring water is the best thing we can drink. It's got the minerals that our bodies need to thrive. Like I said, the biological adaptation. And I also learned that almost all of the spring water that you can get in the stores is processed with UV light and or ozone gas for shelf stability. So the water can sit in plastic jugs in a hot warehouse for months and not go green. And unfortunately, that destroys, there's actually healthy microbes in unprocessed spring water. So, you know, just like pasteurizing juice and pasteurizing dairy, we're starting to realize might not be the best thing. Sourcing fresh spring water also, you know, it's just a very different thing than what was out there. So I started locating springs on Find a Spring, the public database, user-generated database of cold and hot springs. And I found a really awesome spring up in Big Bear, California. And I just felt a shift in my health immediately. Like this.
Yeah, you can feel it. It's cool. Yeah. Drinking out of springs like very different. Like it gets into potentially, I don't know. It doesn't need to be pseudoscientific. It can just be like, it makes you feel really good. Like there's a distinct difference, and there's probably a lot of placebo in that as well. Just like the experience of being outside drinking water from earth, you know, it's like so cold and delicious. Just everything about it. There's probably some type of, like symphony of actions that are happening there. It's probably not just the water itself, but for people that haven't had that experience, I highly recommend it. And there is something very special about that. Like it's a very special experience for someone that hasn't had that before. So I share that with you. It's like it hits different, you know, drinking actually water like out of the wild. I don't know how to explain it. I'd love to hear your explanation of what's exactly happening with that.
Yeah. So there's a freshness for sure when you gather from a spring, and it's such a beautiful experience to actually see where the water comes from, where the earth is like birthing this water through this hydrological process. And when you drink it fresh, there's dissolved gases and good water. Sometimes you can see like the little bubbles. So when you're getting it super fresh, you're still getting a lot of this energy that isn't always easy to quantify sometimes, but yeah, you know, you feel it when you go direct to a spring or you drink really fresh spring water that's been well preserved.
Could a part of that be the structuring of the water as it's moving through all the crevices and whatnot? It's getting kind of spun up and restructured for the body. Like, are you savvy with the realm of structured water and like the significance of that?
Yeah, I definitely think that that's part of it. You know, if you think about some of these springs, they're coming through miles of rocks or lava tubes. These formations that have a magnetic charge, just like crystals, you know, like how crystals can hold frequencies and charges, like it's flowing along these paths and collecting this energy. And also, there's like a magnetic force that happens when water is spiraling that also charges it.
And what's the issue with UV light? Is that different than just like sunlight? Because, you know, UV light's obviously a part of sunlight. Like, what's the difference between just sun being exposed to water compared to a specific UV filtration system? And I wanted to ask about ozone as well.
Yeah.
UV so, for the first part.
Yeah. So I know some people are into like charging their water like in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super into that. Honestly, I think like storing water is you want to store it like a fine wine, like in a cool, dark place, just kind of keep its freshness. So yeah, ultraviolet light, it's like, it's a certain wavelength created by a scientist somewhere, in a certain frequency. And it's,
you mean the wavelength is something, is a description by scientists, or you're saying that the UV is created by scientists?
Well, yeah, someone somewhere said, we're going to use this specific wavelength, this certain color of light, you know, like, and then, you know, the way that light works, it's like at a certain frequency as well of when it's shining the light.
So,
you know,
kills bacteria.
Yeah. It's not something that's just nature. It's not, it's like taking the idea that nature can create the perfect thing for us and knows what it's doing, and like saying like, oh, well, actually, like, we need to have intervention with that because, you know, nature, great spirit, didn't maybe figure it out quite right. So yeah,
it's like a supplement isolated version of nature. Like it is nature in the sense that it's like light remanifested from the sun into a device, but it's a specific frequency as opposed to kind of like the whole food version of sunlight.
Yeah. It's not like the full spectrum that would be
right
from the sun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we know, you know, if water sits and gets stagnant and there's a lot of light, it's gonna, you know, not, it's gonna get funky. So yeah, that's one piece, the UV, and then ozone gas is another thing that kills these microbes, and healthy microalgaes. Great for shelf stability, but, also something where, you know, it's probably not the best thing for our health.
Ozone could be of benefit depending upon, this isn't something I know a ton about, but the having ozonated water could be beneficial if you do have some type of like gut dysbiosis or something where you actually have some, you know, a vendetta with some bacteria within your own self. So I feel like ozone, it's a great sterilizing agent and there could be benefit for it. But if you're continually, perpetually drinking that, then it could be, start to become detrimental from my understanding. Is that about accurate?
Yeah. I know a lot of people have success with ozone therapy, like even injecting ozone into their blood, and it's great.
You can put it in drinking water as well. Like I have an ozonator at my house and you just put the little nozzle into a glass of water and ozonate the shit out of it for 5 minutes and then drink it. And doing a little bit of that and like with like a medicinal approach actually can yield benefit. But I'd imagine that would be different than if that's just, you're just perpetually always drinking ozonated water. I would imagine be the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, certain things in small doses, of course, you know, there's a lot of people who are into like the super alkaline water. Like people ask me all the time, like, what do you think about Kangens? And like, man, I feel bad for that whole people who get wrapped up into that. It's like, you know, they are diluting their stomach acids with this super high pH water. And it's can really mess you up. I've heard of a lot of people like having health problems from this, and you might feel good, like, you know, right off the bat, like if you already have like a super acidic diet and it's kind of like balancing that out, but,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not wise to drink Kangen water with dinner, I'd imagine.
Well, a lot of people would say like even drinking water at all with dinner might kind of dilute your stomach acids. I mean, I still do it every once in a while. You know, I'm not like super militant about that. But that's definitely some people's thoughts.
Yeah, another thing like an Ayurvedic perspective is drinking, if you're going to drink fluids, just generally pretty much always drink like warm fluids or like room temperature fluids or hot fluids, because it's going to be helpful with kind of kicking up that, your digestion, you know, and it's also like it's not a burden for your body to have to heat up for itself. So you're actually spending energy for that, which perhaps if you want to burn calories, there could be some benefit, I guess, to that, but it seems intuitively sensible to not drink ice water while you're trying to digest food. if you're going to drink fluid, probably at least drink like some warm fluid, like have some tea or something would probably be of greater benefit, I'd imagine. Kind of like if you're drinking like soup, like bone broth is like really super good for you and it's a fluid, you know, but it's typically served warm and typically makes you feel really good. So I feel like there's probably something to, there's so much like nuance to all of this stuff. You know, I think it's kind of the way that it goes.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of people do love drinking water at room temp. And, you know, personally, I love putting spring water in a glass pitcher and putting a little bit of rose nectar in there and drinking it like that. But I also live in a warmer climate. So, that's just me.
And what about the probiotic difference between sterilized water and quote unquote raw water or alive water? Your company is called Alive Water. You also have findaspring.com, which is like one of the most genius resources. I think if anyone's not on Find a Spring, I think it would make an incredible amount of sense just to like go peruse it now, because you guys also have hot springs on there and you're going to be putting more hot springs on, from my understanding. Yeah. But if you're interested, just as an excuse or a reason to get outside, like bring your friends or family, you know, have like a water hunting trip. I think it's just an incredible resource. It's so cool. And the only yield, like monetary yield that you're getting from it, I think, is you guys sell glass bottles on there or something. So it really is like a service to people. Is that right? Is it findaspring.com?
Yeah. So I actually took over Find a Spring 3 or 4 years ago. And it was kind of just a project that Daniel Vitalis and Leilon Anderson had created. You know, like you said, user-generated springs are added on there. And then I took it over and we created it into a nonprofit. So it's findaspring.org now. And we...
Okay, right.
Yeah, so we added lots of new features. You can put test results, upload photos, see comments, favorite springs, and you can even like, you know, we gamified it and like get karma points for like adding springs and stuff, and then you can get a discount on the glass that Alive Water sells. Alive Water, you know, part of all of our all of our profits goes back into Find a Spring, and we definitely lose a lot of money providing that service for the community, but feels really good as a way to give back. And you know, it's kind of like what I used to start the business when I was just going out to a spring collecting water in 5 gallon glass jugs. So it feels good.
Why do you do that? Is from a like a business perspective, I guess you would get organic traffic to be able to visit Alive Water as well. And then there's also just like the altruistic aspect of providing a resource for people. But like, why do you do it? The findaspring.org.
Yeah, good question. So it does take quite a bit of money to maintain the site. Map servers, just regular web hosting, software development. And before I took it over, the stewards were kind of just... had kind of let it go in a way. And it was like it was starting to become like kind of unusable. So it just felt like the right thing to do. You know, the water's given me so much abundance and it felt like a great way to give back to the community. And also, you know, we do have our spring water delivery service to a lot of places and growing even more, but there is a lot of places that don't have our water delivery service yet. So it's a great way that we can say, hey, check it out, you know, go, here's a local spring and you can use our glass and collect it yourself, which really is the best option if you have a good spring near you, which a lot of places don't, if you're like in a centrally, you know, located metropolitan area.
Yeah. I want to get more into like the technical scientific stuff around water. But you had a really super interesting experience with being just on blast by the mainstream media for a while. Folks that aren't familiar with you, Mukunde Singh is formerly known as during that time frame. You went by Mukunde Singh. Is that how you say the name?
Yeah.
Is that right? And so Mukunde Singh was this like spiritual, meditative, kundalini yogi guy that was gathering spring water from the mountains and providing this water for people, very like, it feels like very like Jesus-esque. Not that he did that with water, but in general, just feels like the vibe.
There was actually a really funny thing on the on one of the media things. Stephen Colbert, actually, he was like, he's like Jesus if Jesus turned water into more expensive water.
That's good.
It's funny. There were some funny ones. I'm not gonna lie.
Dude, they were funny. It was so good because you were so parodyable. You know, it was like they did a great job at finding all the, like, every person is able to be turned into a parody. Like every person. You know, unless you're like a very, very banal normal person, but even that, there's like an easy way to make banality funny.
Yeah.
And they really crushed it. Like, I would recommend people check it out because you actually were able to convey a lot of the points that you wanted to convey. And because it was so wildly biased against you, it actually made your points seem quite sound. At least that was my experience of watching it. But was that experience, so you were in the New York Times, you were on Comedy Central, you were like most like MSNBC probably, or whatever, like all the different acronyms.
Crazy, like Good Morning America, like The Doctor Show. It was nuts.
Like, how did that happen? Why did that happen? What was that like for you?
Oh, it was wild. You know, it definitely felt like we're kind of exposing these big water companies that are just selling processed, you know, a lot of them are just selling tap water and toxic single use plastic.
Yeah.
So it definitely felt like a kind of a financed media campaign against us. And, you know, a lot of them were saying our water was $60 a gallon and it could kill you. And, it just like blew up overnight. It was wild for sure.
What was it? What about something that's interesting where you got to have a personal experience of what the media does, particularly if you're kind of like on the wrong side, which I think is generally the right side. One of the things that the New York Times did with you, from what I heard, I think I heard you sharing it. I don't think I saw the actual article, but they came out, did a piece on you, and they took photos of the spring, and you like showed them this like very pristine, pure source. It'd be like very safe to drink. And the photo that they used was like downstream, which would be like a terrible idea to drink from there. And clearly you're not bottling your water from downstream because it would be a massive problem, liability. What was that like for you to experience the being on the wrong side of mainstream media? How was that for you? How did that feel?
Yeah, that was really interesting. So, you know, our water comes from a covered spring head. That's where we collect it. So there's no way anything can get in there. No animal feces or whatever. And then, they like very deliberately just put a photo of like a river with the caption, "Oh, this is where they collect water from," and then changed the caption like 4 days later. Whoops, slight amendment here.
They changed it back to,
well, they,
like, did they change the photo? They
had to, because legally it was, you know, slander and false.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
How did that feel for you? Were you like, I expected this, I'm angry, I feel hurt, this is, you know, any media is good media? Like, what was your perspective on that experience?
You know, to be honest with you, it kind of made me sad for humanity.
Yeah, I get that.
The fact that so many people just don't think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's so wild to me that mainstream media, like, people are still like watching CNN and, like, you know, just kind of giving away their power to just trusting whatever these sources of authority say. It was also, you know, kind of like, okay, wow, we must be onto something if we're upsetting all of these big corporate interests that are clearly working together to try and make us look bad.
So like Stephen Colbert, for example, like, clearly overtly making fun of you to your... Wait, did you go on the Stephen Colbert show or did he just do a piece on you?
He just did a piece on me.
Okay. Well, so with the interviewers that where you went on to these like massive media platforms and did interviews with them, and they're like clearly making fun of you in the interview. Like it's actually like a comedy piece. How were they outside, like after, before and after the interview? Were they like, we're bros, it's all good, but we're going to do this comedy thing? Or were they actually condescending to you outside of that?
Yeah. So the Daily Show, they were really devious. They called me and they're like, hey, this is so, you know, messed up. Everyone's like, putting this negative spin on you and your business. We want to give you a chance to like come out and like tell the right story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Snakes. So out
to LA. And then, you know, it was funny that actually the interviewer, she was sick from airplane food. Yeah. And I was like, oh, do you want some of our spring water? You know, like she's like, no, I'll just like drink some Dasani. I was like, oh, okay, this is how it's going to go.
Right. That's so funny.
Yeah. And then I like showed them this spring because I was like, hey, you know, also like part of what we do is like advocating find a spring. And then they tried to like spin it that is actually where our water comes from, like this little spring. Just outside of LA. And yeah, it was just wild. They were like, you know, no one can come in the room with you to film. You can't record it. And then of course they just wanted to try and make me sound silly. And like, you know, of course, like taking a lot of stuff out of context. The really crazy thing was like, they actually changed my words a little bit. Like they have that technology now, you know, it's like, it's not hard to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty dirty.
Damn. All right. So back to the sciencey bits. The chick from the Daily Show or whatever drinking the Dasani bottle. What are the potential pitfalls of drinking out of plastic bottles?
Yeah. So a few years ago, everyone heard how bad BPA was—the stuff they're putting in all the plastics.
Sure.
So the plastic company scrambled and they just found the next closest thing just to say, oh, BPA free. And guess what? It might actually be even worse than BPA. You know, microplastics, plastic leaches, regardless of what kind it is. And a lot of data is coming out now that it's endocrine disruptors, these microplastics. Our body's just like, whoa, what is this stuff? Like we're not adapted to this. It can really mess with hormones, all kinds of stuff.
And is there any iteration of non-glass bottles that would be better than others? Or do you think that anything that's not glass is not for human consumption? And obviously it would be different if the length of time that it's spending in said bottle, also the exposure to heat, I'd imagine would cause significantly more leaching.
Yeah, that's a big factor. I mean, yeah, I think there's some plastic that's maybe better than others, but just energetically, you know, going with glass, it's more beautiful. It tastes better. You know, sometimes you can get that like plastic taste that leaches into water. Yeah, I mean, I think eventually it would be kind of cool to do like maybe like silicone, like a full silicone kind of jug. But even then, you know, sometimes silicone can like have a little bit of like a smell to it. I just wonder like what the full process is with that. But that's probably the next like best thing closest to glass.
So your company, Alive Water, you are extracting fresh spring water from Opal Springs in Oregon. And then you have some other places because you deliver all throughout California, Austin, Texas, San Antonio, and then a few cities in Miami, I believe, a few cities in Florida. Is that right? Are they all coming from different springs, the same springs? How does that work?
Yeah. So we've got two springs. The one for the West Coast is Opal Springs.
Yeah,
in which is Oregon. Epic. Yeah, it's really cool. 108,000 gallons per minute flowing out of a lava tube. consistent temperature, 54 degrees. And then the other one is Blue Springs in Alabama for Texas and Florida.
And you're packing, you're putting that into glass containers, and then you're immediately putting that into a refrigerated trailer, and then you're driving that to people's individual houses.
Yeah. So it goes from, it gets filled at the spring in a 2.5 gallon glass jug, goes into a refrigerated truck, into refrigerated storage facility. And then our vans deliver to people's homes, collect the empties, and then they go back to the spring. So that's another thing that I think is really cool. You know, if you look at like, you know, even something like recycling a glass bottle, like the glass has got to go to the recycling facility, get sorted, then go to the melting facility, get melted, get shaped, then go back to the manufacturer, then go to the bottler, then go to the grocery store, then go to your home. It's like, it's actually right. Like a lot of energy to recycle glass and not the best use, I don't think, of electricity.
And then the delivery people or pickup people come grab the jugs, sterilize the jugs, fill them back up, and then return them back to your door.
That's it.
That's pretty cool. What's the price point to have alive, raw, cold, delicious water delivered to a person's door in say Austin, Texas or Los Angeles?
So it varies depending on how many jugs you get at once. The average is about $20 per jug.
How big is a jug? 2.5 gallons?
2.5 gallons.
Okay.
And a lot of people might balk at that price, but you know, we actually have very small profit margins, like 15% on average, maybe 20. It costs a lot to do it right. And, you know, hopefully we can offer even better prices as we scale the business. But, we think it's actually really affordable. Like when you look at some of the things out there, like if you look at like a bottle of, Erewhon spring water, our water is actually half as much money.
What's a bottle of Erewhon? Oh, like the liter things or like what size?
Yeah, exactly.
Erewhon's a pretentious grocery store in Los Angeles for folks that aren't familiar with the lore of Erewhon.
And I do love Erewhon. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah. I still go there, shop there when I'm in LA.
And what about the potential threat of dysentery, Giardia, cholera, things of the like? Is there any potential threat with, like, if you had a bottle of raw spring water and it sat out for 3 months and then you drank it and it's starting to go green, is there danger in that, or is that like healthy green water at that point, or is there a point where it's like there's no return?
Yeah, good question. It's not very appetizing to drink green water. It's like stuff floating in it. It won't hurt you. You can it can be drank. To answer your question about the harmful things, like we do test every single batch for harmful bacteria. It's never come up as present. And then once a year, we do the most comprehensive analysis available on the market, which has always shown zero industrial age contaminations, which is definitely not true for most springs, to be honest. I mean, of course, you know, there's a wide variety of good springs and bad springs.
I want to take a moment and share a Betty sponsor that I am incredibly excited about. Today's sponsor is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online platform that helps you find a perfect match of a qualified therapist. Therapy is something that I am immensely valuable, that I got involved with about a year and a half ago or so. It has been a massive life changer for me, and I would recommend finding a great therapist for any person that has any interest in deepening their relationship with themselves or the relationship with their partner or their family, or just finding greater ease in their daily life. The holidays for many people is incredibly challenging. Historically for me, holidays have been pretty challenging times. And I think having a resource such as BetterHelp with a whole catalog of registered qualified therapists to choose from, and this is fantastic because finding the right therapist is a lot like dating. Oftentimes you don't want to just go with the first person that you meet, and BetterHelp provides you this amazing catalog with different folks. So first they assign a therapist that feels like a good match for you, and then there's no extra charge for you to swap between therapists until you find a perfect fit for yourself. Once again, therapy has been one of the most important things that I've ever done in my life, and I would highly recommend any person that has interest in exploring a deeper relationship with themselves, getting through grief, getting through sadness, getting through loneliness, getting through any type of sensations that might feel a bit uncomfortable. There is light on the other side, and therapy can be a great way to find that. If you have interest in getting 10% off your first month and finding a great fit of therapist for you, you can go to betterhelp.com/alignpod. That's BetterHelp.com/alignpod. I'm gonna take a moment and share about today's sponsor. That is Brain FM. When I'm working on the show and doing things behind the scenes, staying focused and getting in the zone is absolutely critical, but it's not always easy. I used to listen to Spotify or YouTube playlists while working, but found myself getting too distracted. Then someone told me about Brain FM focus music, which is actually made by scientists working with musicians specifically to help you focus. I tried it, and trust me, it's amazing, which is why I asked them to be a sponsor. With Brain FM, I can feel myself being more productive. It's easier to get started on difficult work and so much easier to stay focused without getting distracted. The team behind Brain FM actually won a National Science Foundation grant related to ADHD, and the app includes special modes just for ADHD if you need it. Brain FM music works by changing the patterns in your brain, and they also have amazing sleep sounds that I actually use every night. I'll either listen to Ram Dass in slow motion at a very low sound, or I will listen to the Brain FM sleep tracks, and it's freaking amazing. I really truly would highly recommend it to anybody. I want you to try this, so I've worked out a deal with them to get you a full month free access. Just go to brain.fm/align and you will get a full month free. I implore any person to try this. It's free. You have absolutely nothing to lose. And I think you guys will get a ton of value out of it. So go jump over to brain.fm/align to get your free month. So you guys have done, how many jugs of water have you guys delivered since being in business?
Good question. Right now we've got like 3,300 customers. And the average customer gets 6 jugs. Been in business since 2015. So
a lot.
Yeah, you can get kind of a general number.
How many people have gotten sick on your water since 2015?
Big fat goose egg.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it feels good, you know.
why are people so worried?
Look at the reviews on our website. I mean, it definitely it impacts people in a huge way. Like people's entire lives are changed, and they heal a lot of things once they start drinking good water.
Would you attribute that mostly to mineral composition and probiotic content within the water?
Yeah. I think that's it. You know, I think I chose the two springs we use very particularly for the mineral composition. You know, you want like a good spring will have like a good amount of potassium, magnesium, a little bit of sodium, and then a little bit of calcium, not too much. And then what really makes a spring special is when it has a lot of silica, which is like this rare beauty mineral. Sometimes people get super freaked out because like if our water sits stagnant for like a really, really long time, you'll start to see like little rainbow crystals form in it. And it's this silica, which is this natural beauty mineral that's good for like skin, hair, all that kind of stuff.
So it's kind of like you know, the idea that if your food doesn't go bad, it's probably not food. So if you have a Snickers bar today in 2023, you could probably eat that Snickers bar in like 2055 and it wouldn't be that much different. That might be a little bit of embellishment because it's pretty well denatured. You know, it's like sterilized of most actual nutrients, which that's not the perfect language, sterilized nutrients, but it's, you know, it's pretty well denatured. So if something's not alive, then it can't die. And it's interesting that we haven't really taken that culturally. We haven't really taken that a similar position with water. We actually have a fear of water that potentially could be alive. But with food, you want your food to come from close to the ground and you want your food to be, you know, ideally get moldy if it sits out for a couple of days. It's interesting that we haven't quite caught up to that concept with water, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think it's really cool. People are starting to come around to the concept of farm to table, and what we're doing is spring to glass. And I think more people are starting to realize that eating things like directly from the earth is probably the best way to go.
Is there specifically the probiotic content within spring water? How much does that differ from if you got like a bottle of seed or some probiotic from a grocery store?
Yeah, so that's a great question. In most things, you can only test what you're looking for. So what we've done is we've actually tested for we tested for a bunch of different microbes. We know that there's at least five in the Opal Springs water. And this was a test we did a few years ago. Now, there could be dozens of other ones, hundreds. I mean, who knows? You know, it's like I said, you can only test. The results will only show what you're actually testing for. And these are actually pretty unique. These microbes, they're not in a lot of other things. So yeah, it's pretty cool. You can be drinking water and like getting these natural probiotics, in every sip.
Has there been much scientific data or research, particularly testing, spring water probiotics compared to other probiotics? Or is there any kind of like actual like scientific data around that?
I found very little. Mostly what I found is on this concept called balneotherapy. Mm. Like if you go to Japan or Europe, a lot of these hot springs are known as not only healing hot springs, but like they actually have like medical centers around these healing hot springs and for certain things. Especially Japan, like they really revere their hot springs. Like they're not, almost all of them are not processed with anything. Like it's actually funny. They're like a pretty modest culture, but like you actually can't go into the springs unless you're naked into the hot springs. Cause they like don't want those like contaminating it. Hmm. But yeah, like they have like a hot spring, like institute that basically like says the constituents of every hot spring and like what it's good for healing. So yeah, I'm hoping that there's more data and energy that will go towards researching this. But you know, like I said, we're like, there's so many people that just have no idea that like, you know, even that water, most spring water is processed.
And do you still need to, I know at one point, you had to sell your Alive. Is it alivewaters.com? Is that where people find it?
Yep, alivewaters.com.
Do I have a discount code? I think I do have a discount code, don't I? Did you make one? If not, maybe we can make one right now. Is there a discount code? I don't even know. We didn't have this conversation, but it would be cool if we could give people a discount.
Yeah, you want to do a line?
Yeah, do a line. What would the discount be for people?
15% off first water delivery and everything purchased with it.
Cool. I love that. So alivewaters.com and then use promo code ALIGN for 15% off.
Yeah.
Cool. That's sweet. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. At one point, probably still now, you had to label your water as irrigation water as like a guise. So it's your, you know, you have to if you're going to irrigate, you have to just like irrigate yourself with it. Is that still the case? Is this irrigation labeled as irrigation water?
No, that was, yeah, we were thinking of like going that way for a little bit, like, oh, let's just, you know, avoid any drama. But no, you know, we just say fresh spring water now.
Oh, good. You can do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's cool seeing like raw dairy is another example of that. It doesn't make any sense to me at all that people don't have the right to have the choice to eat what they want. But I see in California, at least if you go to pretentious grocery stores, you can get raw dairy. It's very expensive, but I think it's well worth it. But just the whole concept of that, of like, you know, having Uncle Sam controlling what goes into your mouth when Uncle Sam, you know, has diabetes and, you know, is probably obese and is probably depressed and anxious and, you know, probably hooked on a whole slew of different pharmaceutical drugs just to maintain some level of homeostasis. And yet he's still governing what we put in our mouths. But within that, it doesn't make any sense to me because you can buy a raw steak.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Like, I don't get it. Like, why can't I get some raw milk and choose to boil my milk? Like, I can pat. Like, we got that technology. I have a stove.
Yeah,
like it's just like it's so upside down.
Are coming around to it, and you know, a lot of people are fighting for the ability to drink raw milk, raw juice, like all this stuff, and it's becoming more common knowledge that there's definitely a difference.
Yeah, yeah. It's so crazy, man. It's like whatever you think the opposite. I feel like is the case. And you're seeing that more with, you know, the whole situation the last couple of years with the vid and, you know, the V word and, you know, masks and all of that. It seems like now that the individuals, you know, a trillion people have, well, maybe not a trillion, but a million people have said this already, but, you know, conspiracy theorists are kind of just, you know, predicting that what science will say in 6 months, essentially. It seems like the general trend of things. And it just seems more apparent to me in the echo chambers and the biases that I hold that whatever mainstream media is suggesting to us, very often, it seems with great consistency, it's like the diametrically opposed side of whatever they're suggesting. So it's almost like a reverse compass, you know, like wherever the compass is telling you to go, it's like, cool, like it's still directing us in a direction. We just need to go to the opposite direction. Yeah. If it's still directing us, it's just whatever they say, question it and hold the potential truth that it might be the exact opposite.
Yeah, bro. I mean, the vid was so crazy. It's fucking scary, man. I mean, you know, to have these little cards that, like the passports to travel.
Oh, bro.
Like, when I moved back to Hawaii, we had to go on house arrest for 10 days.
Sure. Yeah. You need to go get sick inside your house.
Yeah.
Instead of getting sunshine and like, you know, naturally immunizing yourself.
Yeah. The military like showed up in like Humvees to like make sure we weren't like walking in our neighborhood.
Oh, dude. I was in LA at the time. I was like walking. I remember walking around the street talking to my buddy Colton, particularly in this particular memory, and legitimately having the fear, like getting ready to pack my stuff up because it really felt like my door was going to get bolted up or like boarded up. Like the following day or that week, I was like, bro, it feels like this is going down. And meanwhile, I just wanted to like hang out with myself and a few close friends and go surf and go outside and like be away from, I don't, you know, most healthy people don't care to be around that much people anyway.
Yeah.
And so like illegalizing nature in the name of healthcare is one of the most impressive things that I think has happened in the last 100 years.
Yeah, but you know, I really think a lot of positive things came from that too. Like I think so much info is coming out now on how bad that whole thing was managed and just how it kind of seemed like an agenda. And I think a lot of people are waking up even more and more to just like, oh wow, like maybe we shouldn't just hand over our life decisions to authority like without any regard.
What's interesting with me with that is there's never, I haven't experienced, I've heard like, I've experienced like micro moments of this inside saunas, having these conversations with people that were very strongly on like kind of maybe like you'd say like the far left or something with that. And I haven't heard any public apology to anybody around like, oh yeah, by the way, that time 18 months ago when I called you an insensitive, selfish murderer, my bad. I was just trusting the science. morally, I was trying to do the right thing. Like, I was misinformed, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's tough for people, you know, it's like they got so committed to this idea of like, oh, I'm going to be a hero and like save people. And then like, you know, it's kind of hard to admit after the fact, like, ooh, like, yeah, yeah. Like, maybe I was wrong. And maybe like what I injected into my body was like not the best thing for my health.
Well, I do know a lot of people that did go vaccine, you know, booster, et cetera, route that do hold resentment about that now that there's more data and more research and science and books and literature and podcasts and media is coming out and being like, oh, by the way, like we might've rushed that a little bit and maybe are bad for making it be a like tyrannically mandated thing for every person for us to have control of every person's biology. Like,
yeah.
Maybe we push that a little far.
Yeah.
Since I do have the experience talking to individuals that they feel duped and they feel coerced. And I think that sensation will, and you know, hopefully it's no big deal. It's more just like a moral issue than an actual biological issue. Mm-hmm. But I have had heard that sentiment from people where they're like, there is some resentment there, I think, where it's like, oh, like you guys kind of got me.
Yeah, more awareness for the future. So that's good, you know, that they're not trust authority so blindly in the future.
Yeah. And then I think that if I remember correctly, I haven't looked at this stuff for a long time, but I think natural immunization was like 16 times more effective because you're getting a more robust load of the spike proteins or whatever the term is for all of that. I'm obviously not a scientist or a doctor, but that's something that's just, it's like, once again, like nature wins, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, sure. Nature just keeps winning. It's just got W's across the board.
Yeah, bro. I mean, how many people do you know that got the shot and then like got COVID? It's like two times after that. It's just like,
or got it worse.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's jacked up. One of the things you mentioned in the, I think it was the Daily Show. How did that go over when you brought up 9/11? Could have been a little different than what we saw.
You saw the show, you know, they basically just tried to make me seem like a crazy person.
Crazy people, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that kind
That's ballsy.
Of, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's important to speak to the reality of the fact that we need to examine authority and the narrative and not just like accept whatever it is.
Yeah. All right, back to water. Filtration systems. Obviously every person does not have the financial means to spend, you say $20, $22, $20 on 2.5 gallons, $22?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So obviously that's a rare person that if they do have the means to do that, I think it's, you know, I'm a massive fan. Like your water by far is my favorite water, 100%. I feel tremendous when I drink it. Just like more energy. It feels good. Like the delivery experience is a good time. You know, the delivery people that you have that my experience with in LA, like every person was super sweet. Something I looked forward to. But it definitely is something that would, you know, if you're scraping by to pay rent, a live water probably isn't the thing that you need, would be my financial suggestion. Not that I'm a financial advisor. But if you're a person that is like going to start off with the best possible water that they can do and they're limited to filtration, what are your thoughts on filtration?
Yeah, good question. I drank out of a Berkey for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I think they say that it keeps some of the minerals in there. And also, potentially, if you buy like an extra piece to it, there's something that like helps take some of the fluoride out as well. So I think that's a good potential option. You know, I have a whole house water filter at my house, just for showering and watering plants and all that kind of stuff. So I do think there's a place for water filters.
What filtration system do you use at your house?
The one we have has like, so it's catalytic carbon. It's like somehow they like use coconut carbon, and then they turn it into this like sand kind of thing. And then there's a big tank that goes through. And the reason I like it is because it takes out the chloramines, and then it leaves in the minerals. And then the system we have is interesting because there's a backflow on it. So like once a week, it pushes the water through it the other way. So it will extend the life of it. So after it goes through the filter, then we also have a vortexer that vortexes it as well before it goes back.
And the vortexer is to restructure the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any water filters that you would not recommend?
Yeah, good question.
The one that I have at my place in Austin is the AquaTrue. Are you familiar with that guy?
A little bit.
Apparently like turn Coca-Cola into fresh water from what I think that's a part of like their ad. Is there like a range of water filters that you would recommend?
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, like the Brita filters, like if you look at it, it's like, it like the claim they make is it like takes out the taste of chlorine. wow. You're not even like, maybe you're filtering out like 10% of the chlorine or something, like definitely still has the fluoride. I mean, some places are recycling sewage water now, and like there's actually like pharmaceuticals in the tap water. Like, you know, that's a thing, and I hope it doesn't become more popular, but yeah, it's kind of crazy.
And would there be a process? So say a person, could they create like a, I think it's pronounced Sole, where you like, you put a little salt in your water, and I think you like put in the sun for a little bit, and then maybe you refrigerate it after that. I'm not sure if the refrigeration is part of those steps, but is there some kind of process to like revivify filtered, denatured water into something that's a little bit more like alive water?
Yeah.
Obviously nothing's going to compare to actually extracting water from a spring, but it's like, how can we get closer to it?
Yeah. I mean, I used to drink reverse osmosis, you know, I mean, that's one of the methods that purifies water the most. But yeah, you're definitely right. Like it can actually strip minerals out of your body because in chemistry class, they teach us water is the universal solvent. So, you know, it's trying to go back to its homeostasis, and that can actually be really dangerous, drinking just straight up RO water. So, yeah, I think, you know, putting in a little bit of salt would probably be a good idea. Shilajit has
any,
a lot.
Any particular salt that you'd recommend? Like Himalayan salt, or there's like the Redmond sea salt is a good one because there's not a lot of contaminants with it.
I like Redmond's. Yeah.
And that's because the I guess it's a mine that they get it from, unless I might be wrong about that. Do you know where it comes from? But it's not contaminated like a lot of other salt sources can be.
Yeah, it's a dried up seabed. So it's a lake from thousands of years ago or millions or whatever before there was industrial age contamination.
Yeah, so that's going to be a more pure version of that. And then if you could get a filter, reverse osmosis, or do you know anything about the AquaTrue?
I don't. I know like with reverse osmosis, it's interesting because I think it's like somewhere between like for every gallon of water produced, like 3 gallons or 10 gallons, like gets wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
It's similar with the AquaTrue. It pours out like quite a bit of water out the back from it, which is kind of interesting. But so a person could, if they got themselves a good filter, a Berkey, I think the AquaTrue is a good one. And then from there, I think I have a discount code for AquaTrue as well. I think it's probably a line. I'm not sure what it is. But from there, remineralizing it, get some Redmond sea salt. Is there any other kind of like supplements or foods or specific salts or anything that would have like the ideal mineral composition from your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know if I mentioned Shilajit. Did I say that one? That one's
you were
got,
just about to say it, then I interrupted you.
Sorry. Yeah, that one's got like a huge mineral, like spectrum of minerals in it. I actually like to add pure, I think I mentioned earlier, this stuff called pure rose nectar into water. It just makes it taste better. So you want to drink more. We actually sell it on our website and, yeah, it's just delicious.
And what about temperature of water? Do you, I personally like quite enjoy refrigerated water, even though, you know, Ayurveda says don't do that. Is there any value in say like structuring water and then putting in the fridge? Would that perhaps like maintain said structure of water, or is there like, what's the conversation with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like how long does the structuring of water last? Like they have, you know, like a Mayu filter, or not filter, but like a Mayu device that like swirls water to like revortex it.
Yeah, so
yeah, there's a lot of different things, and you know, I would be lying if I said I knew, like, oh yeah, like the, it diminishes 3% every 3 minutes, like after you vortex. I really don't know. You know, I think, what we do sometimes is, like I said, we just have our spring water in the pitcher, in the fridge, and then we'll just vortex it like real quick before we drink it.
What do you think about those? There's like a bunch of pretty expensive devices that you can put into water that have like, there's one that I have, I don't remember what it's called. It actually broke, you know, a little while ago, but it's like a glass tube. It has some water that they did something special to.
Wand, is that the one?
Maybe, what did you call it?
I think it's Analemma.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, mine broke. What do you think about all that?
I haven't looked much into it. I know a lot of people are like stoked on it. I mean, for me, it's like, just spring water, like with some, you know, with maybe some rose in it that tastes good. Like I feel like pretty good. Like I've got my bases covered. Like, you know, I don't need to like figure out some kind of like super science-y like thing that someone created in a lab to like make my water better. Like, you know, I think just drinking good spring water, like we're going to be pretty good.
What are your thoughts on the Emoto water experiments, on homeopathy, on like water having memory, things of the like?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, you know, who are listening to this podcast probably know the Emoto experiments, where they would freeze water and have different intentions or different qualities of water. And like the better, like spring water, for example, would have like a more beautiful crystalline structure. And then also having like thoughts impact water as well. And, you know, most people know like we're mostly water. Some would say like even 99% water by like molecular quantification. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, it's like our thoughts are so powerful. Like if you believe it, if you believe something to be true, then you can really manifest it. And if you have positive thoughts, you're going to be happy. And, you know, something that me and my wife, Dakota Chanel, do a lot is just a gratitude practice. And you'd be shocked, like, if you've never done this, just like how much it can shift your whole energy. Just 2 or 3 minutes. Hey, let's say everything we're grateful for in this moment. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow, like our lives, we are so blessed. So blessed. Yeah. And something for me too is just realizing, like, you know, that life happens for us, not to us. Like, you know, sometimes things, if you can look at it right, it's like there's a lot of lessons sometimes in the hardships, I think. And if people kind of start to look for the lessons in the hardships, like I've noticed that it just, things always work out for the best in my life.
Yeah. And there is pretty significant data actually around the mental, emotional, physiological effect of gratitude. Ultimately, our physiology is governed by our mind, you know, and our thoughts and feelings and perspective on the world. And if a person suddenly, you know, a Byron Katie or an Eckhart Tolle or somebody of like can go from being in a complete depressive, you know, suicidal end of life, you know, stress hormones, like everything through the roof, to suddenly having this awakening moment and then everything shifts, and the composition of their hormones and their neurochemicals and, you know, all the constituents shift in that instance. You know, so our perception of the world highly affects the actual physiological composition of ourselves. And that's, there's nothing pseudoscientific about that. You know, okay. So I think that that's like that, that's I think most people would be able to grok that our thoughts, you know, affect our physiology.
For sure.
I really appreciate you, man. I feel like you are a really important person on the planet, and to bring awareness into the value of getting back to the earth and the value of paying attention to the water that we're drinking, and also providing such a rad, completely free, incredible resource of findaspring.org. So people can have a reason to go and hunt water themselves and go and get into hot springs and, you know, absorb themselves and all those different life enhancing, vitality boosting minerals, you know, and just like the experience of it. And then also providing a resource for people to actually have like the best of the best living spring water brought to their home. It's very cool. I really appreciate what you're doing, and just all of the arrows that you've sustained and you just like kept trucking along. It's very cool. Like, well done.
Thanks. Kudos. Bro. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And yeah, you know, we just hope that people enjoy Find a Spring and it leads people into maybe wild foraging. You know, you go out to the spring and, oh, look, there's watercress in the water here. Like, you know, realizing that nature really sustains us and starting to have a deeper relationship with nature. You know, what else can I find out here in wild forage? And, you know, I think everyone kind of knows there's an ecology, like an ecological travesty happening on the planet right now in so many different ways. And, you know, how are we going to get more connected to nature, get more people connected to nature? And like, actually, I think the way that we do that is actually going into nature and seeing how it sustains us, like having a deeper relationship. And then that'll start to change the narrative of why it's so important to
nature
and keep it preserved for ourselves and for future generations.
Yeah. To be disconnected or alienated from nature is absolutely to be disconnected or alienated from yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of wild to think about, you know, a lot of people have never seen like where water comes out of the earth. It's pretty wild to think that a lot of people have never even seen where water comes out of the earth, or to have that direct experience of drinking water straight from the earth. And I think there's something really impactful about having that direct relationship with our planet.
Yeah. Well, so where should people go from here? I think probably a great place would be just jump on findaspring.org. It's totally free and you're going to get a lot smarter and potentially open yourself up to an amazing adventure. Go get outside, go experience nature, go experience spring water for yourself. And then I'd imagine a person would probably have the bug for how valuable that experience was for them. And they'd want to keep doing that. So they could either keep doing that themselves and gather spring water from themselves. That would probably be a really amazing thing to do for exercise and more access to nature and all the things. And then for folks that don't want to drive an hour and a half to find a spring, then there's alivewaters.com. And then they can use promo code ALIGN if they want to get a discount and have fresh, raw, living spring water delivered to their door from pretty rad people, in my experience. All the delivery people, like I said, were really cool. Like, I enjoyed having a conversation with them. So yeah, I really appreciate everything you're doing, man. I think it's like it's a really valuable resource to the world. Is there anything else to share?
Nothing else I can think of right now. You know, I think it's really cool that we both shared the love for Hawaii, and that you used to in Maui.
That's my home. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Maui no Kauai. That would be Hawaii, which you live in Kauai, so you don't care about that so much, but that means Maui's the best, I think, in Hawaii.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in Maui 3 or 4 years myself till I moved to Kauai. And, yeah, it's such a cool lifestyle, just being closer to nature. And for me, having more access to hunting and spearfishing and so many good springs out here, and lots of people into like gardening. And yeah, I just think it's cool that we share that. And
And that's most of the centarian spots around the planet, the blue zones. That's like pretty much what they're doing. They're just like doing what you just described. It's not that complicated. They have really good relationships, and they get outside and they garden and they walk a lot and they drink wine and smoke cigarettes every now and again. It's like,
Good relationship. Community. And, you know, that's also part of our hope with this, is that we can start to form stronger communities that are unified around wanting to just enjoy good water and appreciate it, and make it accessible to more people.
Yep. Cool, man. I appreciate you. So, findaspring.org, and then alivewaters.com, promo code align for 15% discount. If you want fresh spring water delivered to your door, if you're in California, Austin, San Antonio, and where'd you say in Florida?
Delivery in Florida is from Miami all the way up to West Palm Beach.
Bam. All right. Cool, man. I appreciate you. That's it. That's all. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. If you did, por favor, share it with your friends. You can also tag me at Aaron Alexander on the Instagram. Thank you guys for leaving us reviews. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for checking out the YouTube channel, Align Podcast, if you want to see the video version of this. And I'll see you guys next week.